Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch, and today we're going to talk about the World Series. We're going to have Andrew Flower on, who covers the Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we're also going to talk about my top five football teams, and hopefully we'll get into a little college football. First, I want to talk about the Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland Indians, and the Chicago Cubs, staved off elimination by defeating the Cleveland Indians 3-2. And boy, I tell you, as a Cub fan, it was like a messy kind of way to get out of this game. They were very, very, very lucky. And they started off with Ramirez homer to left to give the Cleveland Indians a 1-0 lead. And you're thinking, oh, boy, now this is where the pressure mounts. You start to think the innings, the fourth inning coming up, the fifth, Andrew Miller come in and put the vice grip on, and Allen and all those guys will just be. And it'll be a wrap, and they'll celebrate on Chicago. But then Brian homered. And once Brian homered to tie the score, Russell reached on an infield single, and Rizzo scored. And it was 2-1. And then Ross hit a sacrifice fly to give them a 3-1 lead. And Lester was pitching good, but then he gave up an RBI single to Lindor, who's almost impossible to pitch to at this point in time. And then it was 3-2. And you're thinking, okay, you go to Stroop, or you could go one way or the other, maybe Chapman two innings save. But he went to Carl Edwards. I didn't like that move. I think he should have went to Lester one more inning. And that really, I did not like Joe Madden's move, putting in Chapman in the seventh inning, because he put in Carl Edwards, who struggled. He lost the game 3, which was critical, and to 1-0. And he really needed, Dick Chapman came in, and I said, oh boy, the Cubs probably going to lose. They're probably going to get to him. But Chapman pitched 2 1/3 of the toughest innings. He showed he was beyond. He's more than just a power pitcher. He's a great, great, great reliever, and he showed it. You have to pay him after going 2 2/3 innings and getting that critical save, big time, 4 strikeouts. He was big time in that situation. Joe Madden got away with that one. You can't do that going into Game 6. I give the Chicago Cubs a slim and none chance of going into Cleveland, winning a Game 6, and even going further and winning a Game 7, doing the impossible. But slim is in the form of Kyle Schwarber. You also have Jake Arrieta, who can be shaky at times in the playoffs, but he was brilliant the last time. This is the ingredients for Cleveland to win. This is the ingredients for Chicago to win. The ingredients for Chicago to win is Arrieta to pitch great. They have to go to their bullpen, and they have to go to Montgomery and Stroop, if you could even extend that. And then if you're lucky enough to get past Game 6, which will be incredible because Cleveland is ready to celebrate, then you go with Hendricks and you go with John Lester on short rest and middle relief, and you go staff day. You go through your gamut, whether it's Montgomery or Stroop, and then Chapman for a two-inning save or whatever, if you're lucky enough to even get that far. For Cleveland, you want to finish the thing in Game 6. You want to, I understand you got your big dog, Kluber, for Game 7, but you don't want to give a Chicago Cub team that struck out 51 times in this series life. You can't do that at all. I think you want to close it down, get a lead. The Cubs are striking out at an alarming rate. You get a lead, get Miller in there, the crowd will get excited. If they get bases on, Miller will strike out the side, then Cody Allen, then they're going to be in a party mood ready to celebrate Game 6. If they don't win, then the fans will be a little more nervous. Because they're like, oh, gosh, I know we got Kluber, but, man, we saw what the Cavs did. We don't want that to be – we don't want to be our own victim. So they want to finish this thing off at 6. Now, in the NFL, I was impressed by the Dallas Cowboys because they're 6-1. They won an overtime game against the Philadelphia Eagles. That was a big-time game. Ezekiel Elliott ran for 96 hard yards because the Eagles really did shut down the Cowboys. And they exposed the Cowboys. The Cowboys could be in trouble if that running game is not churning out. But the Eagles made some critical mistakes that cost them dearly. And they had a chance to really put the Cowboys away. And they had a chance to take a 10-point lead in the game. And they also had a chance to take the lead and win the game. They also had a chance to win this, and in regulation they screwed up and they blew the game. We're going to have Andrew Flower on in about 2 minutes, who covers the Raiders, and I think that the Eagles messed up. That the Cowboys really had them. And I liked what Prescott did. He played really good. But the Cowboys are 6-1, and they're really – I like how they're going. I like what they're doing. They're winning with confidence. And I'm really impressed with what's going on in Big B. I'm waiting to hear from Andrew Flower. He's going to talk about the Oakland – improving Oakland Raiders, who – Carr had 513 yards in one game. They went in overtime 30-14. That impressed me very much. What can I say? Oakland's back. It's good for the Raider fans. It's good for the football because now you got next week, you got Denver and you got Oakland. That's a great game. I was surprised, before I get to Andrew Flower, I was surprised to see the Seahawks lose to the Saints. The Saints are good, especially at home, but that was a game the Seattle could have won to keep pace in the NFC with the Cowboys, but they lost 25-20. Drew Brees did what he had to do. The fact that Christian Michael only had 40 yards rushing stinks for Seattle. That's going to cost them dearly. They need Rawls back badly. Badly. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Still waiting for Andrew Flower to call in. He's calling in from the West Coast, so it's 7 o'clock his time to talk a little Oakland Raiders. And also, I got some Golden State questions for him because it's fascinating. I saw what Kevin Durant did. But as far as my top five teams, I got New England, number one. They killed Buffalo. They paid Buffalo back. That was an easy win, 41-25. I have the Denver Broncos at number two. I have the Atlanta Falcons at number three. That was a big win over the Green Bay Packers. I have the Oakland Raiders at number four. Wait, no. Let me start this over because I just forgot. New England at number one. Dallas at number two with that big win over Philadelphia. Denver at number three. The Falcons at number four. Oakland at number five. They've cracked my top five. Very, very impressive. And I think with Oakland, Denver is going to be for first place. I want to see if Oakland can win in a big game in the Black Hole, Sunday Night Football, NBC Sports. I'm excited about it. We're waiting for Andrew Flower to come on. Also, I want to give some love to the way that Carr has taken over the Oakland Raiders, and it's not just him. Crabtree's playing good. And I didn't like Crabtree when he was on. Oh, we have Andrew Flower on now. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Ron, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good. The Oakland Raiders winning a game that they usually always lose on the road, a tight game. They usually figure out a way to screw it up, but they didn't because of your quarterback, Carr, 513 yards?
It's pretty impressive. I think he's definitely got the clutch gene in him.
Yes, he does. He definitely does. I also, you know what? I was never a fan of Crabtree when he was on the 49ers. I love him right now. I mean, they have a chemistry that is really it's working right now. Amari Cooper, of course, is a stud. He had 173 yards. But Crabtree, 108 yards, 8 catches. What's going on there?
Yeah. You know, I think what the thing with Crabtree was that when he played for the Niners, he never had a quarterback. So the fact that he's come out and said a couple times that he's seen a resurgence in him because he finally, you know, has a quarterback that can throw him the ball. You watch his route running. He runs really crisp routes, especially on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. He has really good hands, strong hands. He snatches some balls that are pretty impressive. I think him paired with Cooper, who's more of a, you know, blow the top off your defense kind of receiver.
Yes.
They make a good combo for Carr, who really likes to air it out. He can put some good touch on the ball in those deep throws. And he's not scared to stay in the pocket. You see the Raiders have a really good line, give him a lot of good protection on most of his throws. So it's been a pretty exciting offense to watch. The only scary part of their team mostly is their defense. And obviously, as you saw yesterday, those penalties are just they really shoot themselves in the foot.
That's been an Oakland staple forever, the penalties. Khalil Mack is still a stud with seven tackles yesterday. He had two sacks. They probably need a little help. How do you rank their secondary?
You know, I don't think it's terrible. I think with how efficient their offense is, I think their secondary gets a little more heat put on them with just how much they can score.
Mm-hmm.
The type of games that they're in. So I think the numbers may be a little skewed. Also, they're supposed to get Alden Smith back, hopefully, in a couple weeks. He just applied for reinstatement. He still needs to have a meeting with Roger Goodell. So we'll see how that goes through. And then they also have Mario Edwards Jr., who was one of their better, you know, defensive linemen last season, who got injured and midway through the season. So, you know, if you can get those two guys coming back fresh for the last 6-7 games of the season, I think that's going to see a real big improvement in their defense there.
I also think balance-wise, Latavius Murray is really, really important as far as your running game. Well, I mean, he only had 48 yards. How can you get him going to really make it difficult to stop Oakland?
Yeah, you know, they've been kind of, as a lot of teams are this season, going to more of the running back by committee, see with Washington and Rashard there. So that's been nice. You got a couple of speedsters to back him up. He's more of a kind of a power back. So he's been getting touches in the goal line situations, which is nice. The Raiders have a real good red zone offense. I think they're, you know, top five in the NFL and scoring once they're in the red zone. So I don't really see him kind of, you know, averaging more than 75-50 yards a game with their passing offense. But I think if you can get in more touches, you know, it only diversifies what they can do on offense.
Oh, yeah. Now, break down this game with Denver. Denver and Oakland, first place Sunday night football in the hole. There hasn't been an exciting game like that in Oakland in years. Break that down for me.
Yeah, no, I'm real excited for this game. It's going to be a big one, and I'd say it's a game that's important for winning the division, but also, you know, the Chiefs are right there in the mix, so I think any game with them is just as important. I think it's one of the better offenses in the league and one of the better defenses in the league going at it. I think with C.J. Anderson being out, that definitely helps the Raiders. Not too sold on their quarterback situation. The Raiders played the Broncos good last season. They beat them once and, you know, gave away a game at home against them last year. So I think I'm really liking their chances. They're not really playing too well at home this season. But, you know, I don't see why, with the way that Derek Carr can sling the rock, I don't see why they couldn't beat them at home.
Oh, definitely. I know you're leaning toward the Raiders now. Before I get into the Golden State Warriors, have you watched – I know the Pac-12 hasn't gotten a lot of love nationally, but I love Washington and Browning and how they're playing and how tough they played, and they went in a very difficult environment in Utah.
Yeah, you know, I haven't watched too much Pac-12. I did watch the game earlier in the season when they, you know, handed Stanford and firm backhand, but they seem like, I know there's not too many formidable opponents in the Pac-12 that can really give them a run for the money like some teams in the SEC or Big 12 would, but you know, I don't see why they're looking prime for a playoff spot right now, as long as they keep winning.
Oh yeah, they're definitely in. They when I see them, just the eye test tells me they're good. Now, as far as Golden State, I think just because of the chemistry and you lost a couple of pieces, it might take a month. And also to get over a little bit what I call depression, because Carolina Panthers are doing it, they're coming on now. But you just heard of, especially last year, and I thought the reason why you lost last year, you ate what I call a pie, a poisonous pie. 40% of that pie was the suspension of Draymond Green, because I think you were set up to finish him in five. Because of the way that I look like Cleveland was a dead man walking after game four. It was that ridiculous suspension because it was LeBron James' fault. I hate to bring all this up, but it was his fault, even though Draymond Green did some idiotic stuff previously, which lends to this issue with his technicals. But also 20% was Cleveland being opportunists, taking advantage of opportunity. The other 20 was Golden State panicking. They weren't ready for a seven-game series. They're ready to finish them in five. What do you think about my assessment just there?
Oh, yeah, I think you're spot on. You know, LeBron definitely baited him into that. And it was really unfortunate because I think I'm right there with you. I think it was set up to be ended in five. I think they had all the momentum, especially going back home. And I think that kind of changed their attitude, especially with Draymond. He's the real emotional leader of that team. So when you get him thinking about his actions in that sense, I think that kind of sends a message throughout the whole team, whether they thought it that at that time or not. So I think you're spot on. If they would have had Draymond in game five, I think that season's the wrap, and this whole outlook of this team is completely different than what you're seeing. And I think you're right with the whole chemistry thing of this season. I see a lot of the 2010 Miami Heat in this team, in the sense that there's some big mix-ups in terms of personnel, and they're going to definitely need some time to figure out how there's tendencies, where they like to be on the floor, where they like to move. It's just going to take time. You know, I could see them going a month or two, losing some games that they normally wouldn't lose, but, you know, it's really just going to depend on how they're playing in May and June.
So, you know, the only thing I look at them and I see, I would try to somehow get an athletic big that could shot block, maybe like a Kenneth Faried, if you could give up a draft pick or something. I would try to get somebody that doesn't need the ball, but somebody that's a rim protector, but athletic enough to get from point A to B in a hurry. I think that's all you really need. Everything else is fine with David West and Petrilia, but I just think you need that adds that little more physical edge with that great perimeter, because I watched the Phoenix game. It was just beautiful to watch on the perimeter.
Yeah, I think that's what they were hoping for in JaVale McGee. He hasn't really gotten any playing time to really see in regular season. He had a couple of good stints in the preseason, but I'm right there with you, because Petrilia is non-existent in terms of rim protection. David West isn't really that style of player either, and I think that's the biggest glaring hole you see with them losing Bogut is the interior defense, especially with Azili. I mean, he was hurt a lot, but when he was in there, those two players provided a rim protection like very few teams had. So I think that's something that, you know, might have taken for granted now that they're at this point of the season. But,
the trade deadline, if they see it, and it's a glaring problem, as good as your team, the general manager and the owners and the presidents, you're good at analyzing that. I could see a deal in the works somehow to get a rim protector.
Yeah, I would definitely want to put it out of the question. And they definitely have a couple of draft picks stocked up, and also a couple guys who they've picked that, you know, have yet to really perform. You know, they have Kevon Looney, who was supposed to be a lottery pick, but due to his injury, you know, he couldn't play right away, so a lot of teams passed on him. So I think that's a guy who you could see maybe not provide rim protection, but, you know, help them on the rebounding end. And they also have Damian Jones, who was also picked with their first-round pick last year, who had to get surgery, so he's yet to perform. So I think they have some pieces that they could move if a player were to come available. And I definitely think that they are open to hearing any trades to get them some more rim protection.
Definitely. You're definitely spot on. I'm definitely looking forward to you. You have to come on next Monday because the Raiders and the Broncos are playing. I just realized that. You got to come on next Monday, and we got to talk. We're going to break down this matchup even more.
That sounds good for me. I look forward to it.
Thank you very much, sir. That was Andrew Flower, who did a terrific job. Now I want to talk about college football. The playoff picture is going to be it's going to be partly settled because you're going to have the playoff announcements for each week until the final week where the Final Four gets decided. My Final Four for now, my top four teams is Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, and Louisville. And Louisville, Washington, it's hard to kind of decipher. Louisville's got issues as far as trying to get in because of the fact that Clemson had the big win against Florida State. And it was very impressive because of the fact that I loved how Deshaun Watson played. He played like a champion, 378 yards, two touchdowns. That final drive was big to give them the lead. They were down 34-30. And Deshaun Watson took them down the field and did what you have to do as a – I didn't like how they played. I didn't like how they played at all. I wasn't impressed with them in the least bit this year. I should have lost to NC State. NC State had a ridiculous time management toward the end where they had a chip shot field goal that was missed. It was an insane loss to NC State. But – they did what they had to do to take care of business, and it was great. I mean, that's when you go 5 plays, 75 yards against Florida State's defense to win the game. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And poor Francois, Florida State was getting hit hard. He's been hit all year. Their offensive line is putrid. That's why they are not in the playoff picture. There's one team I haven't mentioned. And it's coming like a train. If you hear a train in the night, that's the Auburn Tigers. They're coming. And their defense is sick. Their offensive line is serious. They are playing some ball. And Cameron Petway is a beast. 236 yards rushing against Ole Miss. They went to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is struggling right now. They have a good team. They're just scuffling in the SEC West. But they steamrolled Ole Miss. Not only are they playing defense, now they're offensive line. Because Sean White is playing the position in a slick kind of way. He's running a little bit, but he's passing it 15 of 22, 247, one TD, no interceptions, QBR 91.5. He's straight balling. And they're going to be a formidable challenge to Alabama. If that game was in Auburn, I would pick Auburn. I'm not sure where I'm going to pick. Alabama's got to get past LSU this Saturday. LSU's playing a lot better. So I think college football is in good shape. We're going to find out Saturday more of the picture as far as the NFL's concerned and the NCAA's concerned. I'm going to try to get Matt Lowe, who covers Auburn, to come on. Yeah.